Thank you, Elder Padgett. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord this morning? God, I love you today. Thank you for your goodness. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning in Jesus' name. What a pleasure it is for my wife and I to be back in Ocala, Florida, SCORE Conference, be here with this local assembly, and be here with all of the ministers and their wives that are here, and then to be with the Bass family once again, whom we love and appreciate so very much. And we want to say a great big thank you to everyone who has made our time here so enjoyable. And the hospitality has been excellent, and all of the accommodations, food, and fellowship has just been so wonderful, and we thank you so very, very much. I also want to say thank you to the preachers that have already stood in this pulpit and preached to us the word of the Lord. Thank you for ministering in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And we're certainly looking forward to hearing the word of the Lord this evening. I would much rather have filled Brother Jordan's slot than this one that I'm filling here this morning. I like to be the first, get it over with, and then enjoy the rest of the meeting. Amen. So all the pressure will be off of everybody here in just a little bit except Brother Davis. Amen. And he can handle it. Praise God. Looking forward to hearing my friend preach tonight. But I really just want to teach a Bible study here this morning. It's what I feel. And sort of like Brother Hyler was mentioning yesterday, spent several weeks teaching this to my church, so I'd like to condense a several-week Bible study and down into just a small four-hour segment here today. Praise God. Amen. But if you would go with me to the Word of the Lord, praise God. I really just would like to read one verse of Scripture in the book of Acts, chapter number 8, and just verse number 4, Acts the 8th chapter and verse number 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
God bless you, and you can be seated in Jesus' name. I'd like to talk to you this morning for a little while about the apostolic pattern. Brother McKillop, last night we were riding the elevator down on our way. I believe it was before service, might have been after service. Anyway, it was last night, and he said, I'm not going to be able to be there tomorrow. Brother Dudley said, what are you going to preach? I said, I'm going to preach about the apostolic pattern. He said, you got all night? I said, well, Elder, I'm going to narrow it down just a little bit. We're going to focus on something. I know that when you talk about the apostolic pattern, you can go in many, many different directions. But I want to talk to you today specifically about the apostolic pattern of evangelism. Amen. I really don't think that we can improve on the original pattern that is established in the Word of God. I know that there's been cliches that have been used through the years, and I probably have been guilty of using as many of them as others have. But there's one that said that methods change, but the message never changes. And I understand what we mean when we say that. I think I understand what we mean when we say that. because I don't think any of the apostles had buses, and I have buses. And, you know, Bishop Westberg used to make the statement often. He said, if it's not immoral or illegal, we're going to use it to reach the lost. And I feel that way about it myself. If it's not immoral or illegal, then we ought to be utilizing every method that we can to reach somebody. The Apostle Paul himself, I believe he said, I become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. By all means. Amen. I think that pretty much covers the scope. When you say that by all means, I'm going to use any means that I can, that if it's not immoral or illegal, I'm going to use it to reach the lost. Amen. Now, I think that I'll just settle it right up front here today and tell you that as far as I'm concerned, using television to try to reach the lost is immoral. Amen. We don't need that. There are means that we're not going to use. There are methods that are not right for us to use, that are counterproductive. But I think that if we are going to be as effective as we could be, that we ought to go back to the original pattern that is established in the Word of God by the New Testament Apostolic Church. I don't know of anybody that's having the results that the apostles had. Now, I consider myself a visionary, but I also consider myself a realist. And I don't think that we ought to live out here in some kind of a dream world, acting like that we are something that we're really not. And I don't know of anybody that's having the results that I read about in the book of Acts. But I also, at the same time, don't think that those kind of results are beyond us. I think that we can have those kind of results. I think that if we'll go back to doing what they did, if we'll go back to the kind of commitment and consecration that they had, if we'll go back to using even the methods that they used to reach the lost, I think that we can have that kind of revival. I don't believe that kind of revival is only something that was isolated to that time and to that era. But I believe that we are still the apostolic church, and that everything that they possessed and everything that they manifest in their lives and in their churches and in their ministry is available to us today. I think it's available to us today. If I didn't believe that, I'd close my Bible, I'd lock the doors of the church house and never preach another message. But I believe with everything that's within me that we can have that kind of move of God, that we can have those kind of results, that we can have that kind of revival. Well, hallelujah. Amen. But too many times we're guilty of looking around us, and even though that we teach it and we preach it, that yet we still at times are guilty of looking around and comparing ourselves with somebody else. Amen. Comparing ourselves among ourselves. And looking around us and saying, well, you know, they're using that. And if they're using that and they're having a little effect using that, then I think I'll try that. And, you know, I don't, as far as I'm concerned, Brother Frazier, I don't see anything wrong with that, because I'm going to, again, use every method and means that I can to try to reach somebody. But at the same time, Brother Davis, that we're looking around and saying, well, look at, you know, they're using this method. Why don't we go back to using the method that we know works? Amen. Why don't we go back to the original pattern? Because we know what kind of results they got. Amen. We can read about the results they had. Well, praise God. And I've just been stirred within myself, and I've been teaching it to the congregation that I pastor, that we need to go back to this original means and method of reaching the lost. Go back and let's go back and take a look at how the apostolic church in the book of Acts did it. And go back and it's, you know, we try to make it some mystical, but yet in reality, what I'm going to talk to you about here this morning is, it's not mystical. It's very simple. It's very basic stuff. Amen. But I have been guilty of overlooking it. I've been guilty of not only overlooking it, but perhaps more so neglecting it in the congregation that I pastor. But I want to talk to you about a few things here this morning, that just some observations that I have made in the last few months myself. And you know, perhaps I'm just the caboose here coming along, picking up things that should have been picked up a long time ago, Brother McMullen. But as slow as I am and dense and it takes me a while. You know, it takes a while to get through. But I'm finally getting a hold of some things here, I think. And then the more I think I'm getting a hold of it, the more I realize, dear God, I'm further behind than what I thought I was. Amen. Amen. I did a search here not too long ago concerning a couple of words that I kept coming across again and again, especially in the book of Acts. And so I started thinking, you know, where did these words really start coming in, and when did they really begin to be used? And one of the words that I kept coming across in the book of Acts was the word bold, or boldness. And so I did a search on the word bold and all of its derivatives, and I found out that the word bold is used in some form in the Bible from Genesis through Revelation 36 times. It's used 36 times in the Bible from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. And then I did a search just on the Old Testament. How many times was it used from Genesis to Malachi? And from Genesis to Malachi, the word was used only 4 times. Just 4 times from the book of Genesis through the book of Malachi. And then in the New Testament, I did a search from Matthew through John. And from Matthew to John, through the book of John, the word bold in some form is used 2 times. From the book of Acts through the book of 1 John, which the book of 1 John is the last time that the word bold is used in the New Testament. But from the book of Acts through the book of 1 John, 30 times the word bold is mentioned in the New Testament. Amen. 4 times in the Old Testament, 2 times from Matthew to John, and 30 times from the book of Acts on through the book of 1 John. In the book of Acts alone, the word bold is mentioned 9 times. In the book of Acts, it's mentioned more times than it was mentioned from the beginning of the Bible up through the Gospel of John. From Genesis to John, it's used 6 times. When you get to the book of Acts, 9 times in the book of Acts is the word bold used. You may think that's only a coincidence. I've got a different opinion about that. I think there's a reason why that all of a sudden, in the book of Acts, there's some boldness that kicks in. And I am, again, of the opinion that it has a whole lot to do with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Has a whole lot to do with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And if you would allow me to come back to that in just a little bit, I also began to notice another word in my reading in the book of Acts and in the New Testament especially. And it's a word that we are very familiar with. It's simply the word preach. And so I did a search from the beginning, Genesis, and all the way through the Bible. And I found out that the word preach in some form is used 153 times in the Bible. Out of that 153 times, the word preach in some form or another is used only 12 times in the Old Testament. Out of 153 times in the Bible, only 12 times is it used in the Old Testament. And so 141 times is the word preached used in the New Testament. Now, from Matthew to John, the word preach is used 38 times. From the Gospel of Matthew through the Gospel of John. Of course, in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 16, the scripture says the law and the prophets were until John. And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. The law and the prophets were until John. And so when John the Baptist, when the Gospels began, there's something that started changing. There was a transition that started taking place. And this preaching business became a very important business in the workings of the kingdom of God. And he's going to stay with me here just a little while today. Praise God. This preaching business, it became a very important aspect of the work of God. The law and the prophets were until John. But then the kingdom of God began to be preached. And every man presseth his way into it. And so from Matthew to John, the word preach is used 38 times. And then in the book of Acts, the word preach in some form again is used 38 times in the book of Acts alone. So from Matthew to John, all through the Gospels, it's used 38 times. But all of a sudden here again in the book of Acts, here it intensifies. In the book of Acts, it's used 38 times. Again, I don't think that it's a coincidence that the word boldness and the word preaching is used consecutively and together and in harmony, beginning with the book of Acts, and especially beginning with the New Testament. There is an undeniable correlation and link between preaching and boldness. Preaching without boldness is ineffective preaching. If preaching's going to be effective, it's got to be done with the boldness of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost gives us boldness to preach the Word of God. Amen. Now, we by nature are, and you know, some people don't believe this, Brotherhood, but we by nature are not confrontational people. You know, even preachers by nature are not confrontational. You don't, I know you saints don't believe that, but it is true. I don't know of any preachers that enjoy confrontation, but there's something about the anointing of the Spirit that when the Holy Ghost comes on a man and he's preaching the Word of God, there is a boldness that confronts people. And Jesus said that's the way it's going to be, because when the Holy Ghost comes, he is going to confront people with their sins. Amen. Amen. Jesus said the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is going to confront sin. The Holy Ghost is going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. Amen. Whether we want to admit it or not, preaching is confrontational. Preaching is confrontational. If it doesn't confront the devil, if it don't confront evil, if it don't confront sin, if it don't confront attitudes, if it don't confront spirits, it's not being effective. Amen. Now, I believe with everything within me that preaching is confrontational. I didn't say that preaching is rude. I didn't say that preaching is mean. I didn't say that preaching is intentionally offensive. But preaching is confrontational. And it's up to the hearer whether they think that it's rude or mean or offensive. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Because it don't matter how you say it. To some people, if you tell them the truth, it's going to be offensive, it's going to be rude, and it's going to be mean. Amen. Now, I know the Word of God says, speak the truth in love. And that's what every man of God desires and intends to do while he's preaching the Word of God. At the same time, it don't matter how sweet you say it. It doesn't matter how much honey is dripping off of your lips when you're saying it. To some people, it ain't going to be nice. It's not going to be sweet. It's going to be confrontational. It's going to be hard. It's going to be mean. And if you think that Jesus was this mild-mannered, meek little, limp-wristed preacher that never confronted anybody, you better have another thought coming. If we want to go back to the original pattern and example, let's go back to the ministry of Jesus Christ. He didn't beat around the bush. He didn't tiptoe through the tithe payers. He told it like it was. And especially when it came to hypocrites. He called them serpents. He said, you vipers. My God. And they said, this is a hard, they call him a hard preacher. You better, in John chapter 6, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? We can't handle this kind of preaching. That's what they said about Jesus. We can't take this kind of preaching. And Jesus said, all right, I'll tone it down, boys. I'll tone it down. Y'all just stay now. Don't leave. Don't anybody leave. I'll tone it down. No. What did he do? He turned around to the 12. He said, y'all going too? You know what he was letting them know? It don't matter if every one of you walk out of here. If we have to start all over, we'll start from ground zero again. But the Word of God's not going to change. The Word of God's still going to be the same when you get back. It's a shame that backsliders leave the church and when they come back, they wouldn't have had to backslid. Because what they backslid over, it's allowed in the church now. Jesus, help us today. Amen. Hey. And thank God, as one of those disciples had enough sense to say, Lord, where are we going to go? Well, you got the words of eternal life. Hey, we can't go down to the charismatic church. They don't have it. God bless saints that got enough sense to know that. God bless precious saints of God that got enough sense to know that a preacher that telling them the truth is the man that really loves their soul. I'm about to get sidetracked, Brother Holler. I'm about to get sidetracked. Dear God, amen. Oh, Brother McMullen, hey, yeah, you know. Amen. When I went to Wichita 16 years ago, dealing with a case of adultery in the church, trying to get those people straightened out, living right and serving God. And the man that had committed adultery with another man's wife, both families in the church, but this man, he had already quit coming. And he wasn't coming to church when I took the church there. And it wasn't too many weeks until he came to church, wanted to pray through and live for God. And, And I told him, man, I want you to live for God. I want you to get right. But I'm working with this other couple trying to salvage their marriage. And I just don't think it's going to work right now for you to come to church here. So I called a neighboring pastor and asked him, would you let this man and his family come to your church? And I don't know, indefinitely until we can get things worked out. And that pastor agreed. To make a short story long, it wasn't long until another church in our area, some saints from that church, some folks from that church, They started trying to get this couple to come to their church. And so, working on. Finally, they went on a Sunday morning, Brother McMullen. And the pastor had them in his office as soon as service was over. And told the man, sir, we want you to have a song ready for tonight. Give them a key to the sanctuary. And said, here, you're going to need this. Come into this church. We want you to have a key to our church. How do you know, Brother Dudley? Because they came back and sat in my office and told me from their own lips. I looked the man in the face. I said, sir, let me tell you, any preacher, I don't care who it is, any preacher that's got you on his platform singing don't care nothing about your soul. You don't need to be on anybody's platform singing. You need to be in an altar getting your heart right with God. I'm telling you, a preacher that loves you will tell you the truth. Yes. A preacher that loves you will confront you. Yes. And he's not going to be timid about it. No. Not going to be bashful about it. Yes. Not going to be apologetic about it. Right. Because it's the Holy Ghost. Yes. Oh, yes. It's the Holy Ghost that gives a man boldness to preach the Word of God. It's the Holy Ghost that gives a man boldness to preach the Word of God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I really am. I'm condensing this thing way down. All right, I'm condensing it way down. So we're gonna move right along here. But you know, please don't. Go ahead. Amen. You're going to anyway. I started to say, please don't judge me, but go ahead. You're going to anyhow. Amen. So I'm just going to preach and let the chips fall where they will. Amen. I know this pastor, and he's given me liberty, and I feel it here today. Praise God. So I'm just going to plow right on into it. Amen. We got to have some caution here, and we got to be careful here, because there's a charismatic movement and junk and mess and all kind of garbage going on in churches in the name of even, not just in the name of religion, but in the name of apostolics. In the name of Jesus' name, people, one God people. Amen. Amen. I'm not intentionally crossing swords with anybody here today, but I'm the one doing the teaching and preaching here, so I'm just going to do it. Amen. Well, praise God. Hey, we had folks from, and I'm, dear God. Forgive me for using personal reference, or just hold it against me anyway, however you want to do it. Praise God. But we were having a camp meeting, and these folks showed up that don't normally come to our camp meeting. Amen. They're one God people. They're Jesus' name people. They showed up at our camp meeting. They don't normally come to our camp meeting. I looked down in the altars, and I see all kind of people that I don't know. I don't know nothing about. And they're going around and they're laying hands on everything and everybody. And I don't feel good about that. And I get up and I tell them, I say, listen, I don't know where you folks are from. And I don't know who you are. And I don't know nothing about you. And I want you to know this. I'm the shepherd of a whole lot of sheep down here. And I'm very particular about who lays their hands on my sheep.
And if I see you laying your hands on my sheep, don't you get offended at me if I come tap you on the shoulder and say, who are you and what are you doing? Because I don't want just anybody laying their hands on my sheep, you hear me? Because they can infect them with a spirit. They can infect them with an attitude. Well, hallelujah. And I'm very, very strongly convinced that there is a distinction between the apostolic ministry and the saints of God. There are things that the apostolic ministry can do that the saints can't do. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But at the same time, I don't want to be so cautious in that area that I stymie and just totally nullify the potential and the possibility that there is in the saints of God, in the church of the living God. Well, hallelujah. Let me say it like this. Everybody don't have a pulpit ministry. Everybody's not a pulpit preacher. And just because you get anointed testifying don't mean you got a call to preach. I'm going to put it to you like this. You ought to get anointed to testify. You ought to get anointed to be a witness. The Holy Ghost that God gave you is the same Holy Ghost that comes on the preacher when he's standing in the pulpit. And God gives him boldness to preach the word of God. Amen. I'm losing some of you, but that's all right. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. I'm just totally convinced, and I'm preaching it to the congregation that I pastor, that the Holy Ghost that God has given us, He didn't just give it to us to save us. I know that you've got to have the Holy Ghost to be saved. Amen. I don't have to qualify all of that. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost that God gave us, He did not give it to us just to save us. He gave us the Holy Ghost to equip us. He gave us the Holy Ghost to do a job that He wanted us to do. He gave us the Holy Ghost to be a witness. He gave us the Holy Ghost to preach. He gave us the Holy Ghost to preach. He gave us the Holy Ghost to preach. Well, hallelujah. Amen. What did we read in our text this morning? What did we read in our text this morning? They went everywhere. They were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. They went every, who was that? That wasn't just the apostles. As a matter of fact, from what I can understand, the apostles were still in Jerusalem. It was the church that was scattered abroad. It was the saints that were scattered abroad. And they went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. Were they all apostolic preachers? No. They were saints of God. But God called them to a ministry of reaching somebody, of preaching the gospel, of letting it... Oh, God. Amen. Or too long. Amen. I did an injustice to the people that I pastor in letting them think, in letting them feel comfortable in thinking that if they just take a church card and give it to somebody on the street or in their neighborhood or on their job and invite them to church, that they have been a witness. That's not right. That's not the truth. Do we need to do that? Yes! Yes, we need to give people church cards. We need to give people invitations to the house of God. But for too long, we have relegated all the preaching to the pastor. We have relegated all of the soul winning to the preacher. Amen. And don't misunderstand me. I know that yes, we knock on doors. Yes, we run buses. Yes, we invite people and pass out tracts and do all of that. And all of that's important and all of that's necessary. But we're missing a very key ingredient, an element of the apostolic church, when we don't teach our saints that you have the responsibility that everywhere you go, you ought to be preaching the gospel. Amen. But I'm too timid. That's why God gave you the Holy Ghost.
All right.
Amen. Moses was too timid too. Amen. Moses was too timid too. And most preachers, you know, as a matter of fact, you can ask my wife, you can ask close friends. Amen. I've had, you know, close friends say, Brother Dudley, you're one of the most private people I've ever been around. I don't talk a lot. I know y'all don't believe that, but that's the truth. Amen. I do more talking in the pulpit. I do enough talking in the pulpit to take care of a month. My brother-in-law, he don't talk a whole lot either, you know. And we'll get in the car and go down the road and drive for 2 hours, not a word said. And neither one of us are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Amen, because that's just us. That's just the way we are. You get in the car with Brother Davis, it's nonstop. Amen. But, dear God, oh, forgive me, Brother Davis. But we're all different in nature. We're different in nature. But when that man gets in the pulpit, and when this man gets in the pulpit, and that man gets in the pulpit, there's a change. There is a change that comes over a man. Oh, there's a holy boldness. There's an anointing. I want to tell you that same holy boldness and anointing, God wants it to reside in the heart of every saint of God, on your job, in your neighborhood, at the filling station. There needs to be a boldness that comes on up, that we tell it everywhere. That... We are living in desperate hours, desperate times. You hear me? This world is in desperate need. It's a radical day that we're living in. Radical changes are taking place all around us. There's only one thing that's going to get the job done. It's a radical church. It's a radical. We have, oh dear God, we have acted like denominational Christians for too long. When it comes to witnessing, when it comes to soul winning, we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But they're going to hell if you don't tell them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in John chapter 6, when they said this is a hard thing, he said, "Doth this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" In my own terminology and phraseology, I think that Jesus was saying, would it be better if I just left these things alone and didn't tell you these things and let you be lost, or else take a chance on offending you by telling you the truth and giving you the opportunity to get right, to get saved, to find God, and to go to heaven? Would it be better for me just to neglect to talk to you about what is necessary for your soul's salvation and just let you go on to heaven and wish they good friends, or me take a chance on offending you by telling you the truth and giving you the opportunity to go to heaven? My God, saints of God, it's time that we stop being so nice, if you please, and concerned about... It's like these parents that say, I love my child too much to spank them. You're a liar. Oh God, don't get me on that. You're a liar. That's not the truth. You don't love your child too much to spank them. You love yourself too much. Oh yeah. You're afraid that you're going to alienate that child. You're afraid that kid's not going to like you anymore. That's why you don't spank them, because you're the one that's concerned about your relationship with them. And what you fail to understand is that when discipline is administered according to the Word of God, it don't drive a wedge between parents and children. There's a bonding that takes place. When I spanked my children, we didn't walk out of there mad at each other. We walked out of there hugging one another, crying on each other, loving one another. Oh God. Amen. I'm telling you, there's too many rabbits to chase here today. I ain't got time, Brother Hood, to chase all the rabbits. Amen. But for us to say we love people too much to tell them the truth, that's a lie. That's a lie. Oh God, we want to be liked. Yeah. I don't want anybody to dislike me. I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to upset anybody. Amen? People, normal folks are that way. They don't want to upset people. They don't want to make people mad. But I've got to take a chance because they're going to hell. I've got to take a chance. Oh, hallelujah. And my Bible says that if I get enough Holy Ghost, I'll love them enough. Where does it say that? It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. If I get enough Holy Ghost, I'll get enough boldness to tell them the truth. No, am I intentionally going to offend them? No! I'm going to say it as nice as I can. I'm going to say it as diplomatically as I can. Amen. And when I talk about saints preaching the word everywhere, I'm not talking about doing the kind of preaching I'm doing right now. You don't get up, storm, scream, and holler at the restaurant or across the table from your neighbor.
All right.
Pound on the table, bless God, you gotta repent. You got to get baptized in Jesus' name or you're going to hell. Amen. Amen. Just this past Monday, my art instructor called me, want to go flying. I said, man, let's go. I'm always ready to go flying. And so we flew, did a couple of ILS approaches, and had to fill up, get some fuel in the plane, and stopped to get some fuel. And I got out of the airplane. I laid the keys on the dash and closed the door, and the thing locked. And my keys was locked up in the airplane. And so we had to make arrangements. And in the meantime, it's going to be a little while. And so my friend, the flight instructor, said, why don't we go get a bite to eat? I said, man, that's a great idea. I hadn't eaten yet that day. And so we went to Applebee's, sat down in Applebee's, and it wasn't long until the door opened, Brother Davis. And I had an opportunity. And I started preaching to that young man. I'd preached to him before. This isn't the first time I've preached to him before. But every time God opens the door, I'm going to preach to that man. Because I love him and I care about his soul. No, I didn't get up on the pew. Amen. At the restaurant. In the booth. Sweat wasn't running down my brow. And I wasn't getting hoarse screaming at him. But I sat there and I told him. I said, Marty. I said, no. That's it. And we was talking. He's got a son that's about fixing to turn 4 years old. And talking about him. And I'd already talked to him. He'd asked me one time before about sprinkling. He's Catholic. He'd asked me before about sprinkling and baptism. And I said, no, Marty. He asked me about. He said, I'm reading these Bible story books to my son. He said, is that right? I said, you better believe it's right, Marty. Read to him Bible stories. I said, when my son was just a baby before he knew anything, Before he ever even knew what I was talking about, I sat and rocked him in the rocking chair. And I said, son, one of these days you're going to repent of your sins. And one of these days, daddy's going to baptize you in Jesus' name. And one of these days you're going to get the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I told him, I said, Marty, that's why we don't sprinkle when we baptize. First of all, sprinkling's not found in the Bible. And infant baptism's not found in the Bible. And, you know, I wasn't even nearly as animated as what I am right now. I was just talking to the man, but I was preaching to him. Preaching to him. I was preaching to him. Amen. Do you understand what I'm talking about, saints of God? I'm not talking about, you know, no. Just, you know, oh, Jesus, help us. I know there's times you get the feeling like that. Woo! I've been in Bible studies, and I do get up every now and then teaching a Bible, home Bible study. I'm talking about a home Bible study. Well, praise God. And I've seen them get the Holy Ghost in the living room in a home Bible study. But we've got to preach this gospel. We got to preach it. We got to get out of our timid mode. We got to get in a boldness mode. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost mode. Preaching everywhere that we go. Preaching the gospel. Because this world is not going to be won through mass evangelism. It is not going to be won through mass evangelism. The only way that we're going to reach this world is personal, one-on-one evangelism. Not just saying, here's a church card, would you come to church? But sitting down with that, amen. Home Bible studies, that's a wonderful way to preach. Amen. But in every circumstance and situation, you don't have an opportunity for a home Bible study. And what I'm saying is, don't wait for a home Bible study to start preaching. Every time a conversation gives, and the Holy Ghost will prompt you. You start working in the Holy Ghost and preaching this gospel to people everywhere you go, and you'll be surprised at the doors that the Holy Ghost is going to open up, and because God's more interested in this than what we are. God is more, and God is not a passive God when it comes to reaching the lost. God is aggressive. God said, I'm not going to just stand up here and wait in heaven for souls to get saved. I'm going to go down and get personally involved in evangelism. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And God robed himself in flesh for one reason. To seek and to save that which was lost. And if you read in the Gospels concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ, it says that Jesus, many times it would say, Jesus said, we got to go to these cities and villages also, for I've got to preach to them. For heretofore was I called. This is my purpose. This is why I'm here. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. And the commission is, go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Praise God. My wife says, when I take my coat off, I'm halfway through. So there's hope, folks. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, the verse before that, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. God said, Moses, you go get my people out of Egypt. Moses said, who am I going to stay sitting? What authority am I going to go in? How are we going to get the job done? Moses, you go and tell them that I am have sent you.
Right, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And I'm paraphrasing all this because it'd take a lot longer for me to read it all to you. Amen. I'm talking about just reading the scriptures.
Right.
But God said, Moses, Pharaoh isn't going to let my people go until I get through with him.
Yep. Yes.
And when I get through with him, Moses, he's going to let them go.
Amen.
He's not going to let them go until he sees my power. He's not going to let them go until I stretch out my hand. But when I get through showing my power and showing my glory, there ain't nobody going to be able to hold them. Oh, hallelujah. It don't matter how strong a grip that Pharaoh has on them. It doesn't matter how strong the bondage that they are in is. When I get through, the chains are going to fall. When I get through, the prison doors are going to be open. But Moses, you got to go and tell them. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And you read the history and the accounts of David and the prophets talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And you'll read again and again, by a stretched out arm and with a strong hand, I brought you out. With a stretched out arm and a mighty hand, I brought you out. Oh, hallelujah. What I'm talking about today, friend, is that when we go like we have been commissioned to go, he said, I got all power in heaven and in earth. And when you go do what I've told you to go do, I got some people in bondage. There's some people in Egypt. But when you go and do what I told you to do, there's going to be all the power available that you need. And there's going to be signs, and there's going to be miracles, and there's going to be wonders. Oh, hallelujah. Now, again, this is me, all right? But I am convinced, I am absolutely convinced that if we would preach more, we'd see more miracles. If we would preach more, we'd see more signs. If we would preach more, we'd see more wonders. For these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Where's that written at? In Luke's or Mark's account of the Great Commission. Amen. No, we're not following after signs. No, we're not stargazing and looking for another false prophet to come through and heal a cabbage patch doll. Amen. We're not looking for that. No, that's not what we're after. We just want to preach the gospel and let God be with us. And when God is with, and God's going to be with a church that has his heart, God's going to be with a church that fulfills his commitment. You want to know what the will of God is? The will of God for your life is to reach somebody. The will of God for you as a saint of God is to reach somebody. Preach to somebody. I'm not ashamed of what I'm preaching here today. Amen. As a matter of fact, I've been telling it every time I get a chance. Anybody that don't believe in evangelism, I don't want nothing to do with. I don't care about their fellowship. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to hear that junk. I don't want to hear that garbage. Because this gospel is good for everybody. And everybody needs an opportunity to hear it. Everybody ought. Oh, the church ain't the church until we're doing what the church has been called to do. And the church didn't call us just to run aisles. He didn't call us just to leap for joy. Thank God for all of that. But the reason for all of that is to empower us to have the boldness to go preach to somebody. Amen. They had a prayer meeting because they was getting persecuted. And in that prayer meeting, they prayed this prayer. They said, "Oh God, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we might speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders might be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." Amen. Now I want to tell you something. The prayer was commendable because they were wanting doors to open up for them to be able to preach to somebody, to witness to somebody. But they got it turned around just a little bit. They said, "Lord, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we might speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders might be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." They were saying, "Lord, if you'll do some signs and wonders, we'll preach. If you'll do some signs and wonders, we'll get the boldness to tell somebody." But God said, "You got to turn around just a little bit. You start telling somebody, and then I'm going to do some signs. You start preaching to somebody, and then I'm going to do some wonders." Because if you read in the next verse, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." It wasn't signs and wonders that gave them boldness. If you think signs and miracles are going to give you boldness, you better have another thought coming. There's one thing that God has initiated in your life and in this hour to give saints of God boldness to preach, and that is the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's simple.
Yes.
It's this simple. It's this simple. I don't have enough boldness because I don't have enough Holy Ghost. I'm not preaching like I ought to be preaching to my neighbors, to my workers, cohorts. I'm not preaching to my family the way I ought to be preaching to my family because I just don't pray enough. I just don't have enough Holy Ghost. It's that simple. God said, "This is what's going to give you boldness. When I fill you with my spirit." What is it that gives a mother the courage and the boldness to run into a burning house, smoke-filled, to try to grab a child and pull them out of there to safety? What is it that gives them that courage and that boldness? It's love. It's love. Reason we're not preaching enough because we don't love enough. This world's going to hell, church. Your family's going to hell without this gospel. Our neighbors are going to hell without this gospel. And if we love them like we ought to love them, we'll be preaching the truth to them. But they'll disown me. So you want to let them just go on to hell? Never tell them the truth because of the possibility that they might disown you. Would you rather take the chance? They'll hear you. Somebody could have thought that way about you.
That's right.
Amen.
I can't witness to them. They'd get mad at me. Some of you may have got mad at somebody that told you the truth. But because the truth, that seed was planted. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Because that seed was planted. Where did the seed get planted? Did the sword just go to sow on good ground? Was he discriminate in his sowing?
No, sir.
You don't know where the good ground is.
That's right.
That is right.
Only God knows where the good ground is.
Amen.
So where are you going to sow? I'm going to sow everywhere.
Because
there's going to be some good ground somewhere. And so I'm just going to sow everywhere. Because there's going to be some good ground somewhere. But you can't discriminate. You can't judge and say, well, I'm going to tell this one, but I just don't think that. You don't have that authority and you don't have that gift.
Yes, right. That's right.
To discern who's going to receive it and who's going to reject it.
Yes.
Your responsibility is just take the seed and sow it everywhere.
Yes.
They went everywhere preaching the word.
Oh, yes. Right.
Yes. Amen. Oh, say, Brother Dudley, what you're preaching is radical. I know it sounds radical. But it's not radical according to the standards of the apostolic church. This is the way they did it. This is the way they felt about it. Everywhere they went, they were preaching.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Did everybody like it?
No.
Did they get persecuted?
Yeah.
Did they get run out of town?
Yeah.
Sometimes. Did they get stoned? Sometimes.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
But where did Paul get the courage to crawl out from under a heap of rocks and say, I'm going to go preach this gospel somewhere else now?
Right.
Where did he get that kind of courage? I'll tell you where it got. He said, I thank my God.
Yeah.
I speak in tongues
more
than you all. That's where he got that kind of courage. That's where he got that kind of boldness. That's where he got that burden. That's where he got that kind of love for people. I thank my God. I speak in tongues. I've got to stay full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have the boldness to have the Holy Ghost. I don't have it in myself, brotherhood. It's in the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Oh, dear God. And it's a total another Bible study. But you don't keep the Holy Ghost without talking in tongues. There's only one way you're going to stay full of the Holy Ghost, and that's keep you a daily prayer life where you pray through and get in the Spirit every day and talk in tongues every day. I'm not talking about just getting... Jesus said, not all of this repetition. Vain repetition. Oh God, I've heard people talking in tongues and it wasn't nothing but vain repetition. You could tell they weren't in the Holy Ghost. You could tell they weren't in the Spirit. I'm not talking about some kind of vain repetition, even talking in tongues, but I'm talking about praying until you get in the Spirit. And you are intoxicated, absolutely under the influence of the Holy Ghost. The only way we're going to be effective in our witnessing is to be under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And if we'll get under the influence of the Holy Ghost and go out and preach this gospel, God said, I'm going to go with you even to the end of the world, and I've got all this power, and it's going to be available unto you as long as you're trying to reach somebody. If you were the only person in the world that had the gospel and the whole world was lost, how would you go about reaching the world? I know when we look at the millions and yea billions of people in this world that are lost without God, it seems like such an overwhelming task. Overwhelming. How are we going to reach them? How are we going to reach them? Well, we could use this method and that method and another method. But listen to me right now. If you were the only person in the world that had this gospel, and you just made up your mind, this year,
I'm going to win one person. God. And then not only am I going to win that person to God, but I'm going to disciple them. And I'm going to teach them to win somebody to God also. So after 1 year, there would be two people in the church. The next year, there'd be four people in the church. Third year, there'd be eight people in the church. Oh, we're not getting anywhere fast. How long is it going to take us to reach the world at this pace? Just everybody reaching one person a year. Discipling them. Training them to reach somebody themselves. How long is it going to take? You do the math. I've already done it. If you don't believe me, do it yourself. In 33 years, there would be 8.5 billion people in the church. 33 years. If everybody in the church would just win one. And that's if you were the only one in the world that had the Holy Ghost and had the truth. If we'd do that, we'd just all commit to staying full of the Holy Ghost and with boldness preaching this gospel. And just commit. I'm going to reach one. I'm going to disciple them. 33 years. Matthew 24, Jesus said, "In this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world. And then shall the end come." 33 years. Preach the gospel. Everybody in the world would have heard it. No, we know everybody's not going to receive it. I don't think it would even take us 33 years to preach it to everybody. If we'd all commit ourselves to preaching it everywhere. Full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you this morning why you're not doing that. Why we're not doing that. We don't have enough Holy Ghost.
That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth.
You're right. Amen. And this gospel's preached to all the world. What are we going to do now? Hey, Gabriel. Grab your trumpet. Oh, yeah, I believe the Lord could come right now. I believe He could come right now. But I also know why He hadn't already come. Because He's not willing. It's in your Bible. That any should perish.
Oh yes.
But that all should come to repentance. That's why He hadn't come yet, church. That's what He said. This is why. This is why I hadn't come yet. Because I don't want anybody to go to hell.
Thank you.